And we're talking with Alan Gordon about living pain-free. His book is called The Way Out. If you suffer with chronic pain, whether it's in the brain or something truly physical, check in with us. If you just have a question for Alan, jump aboard as well. Welcome back. Alan Gordon with us. The Way Out. Alan, I was asking you that question before we got to the top of the hour break, and that was, how do people react when you tell them this is in your head and we're going to work on it?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, most people react the way that I reacted when it was first presented to me. You know, I had chronic back pain. It hurt every day. It hurt when I sat. It hurt when I stood. It hurt when I walked. And my mom presented me with this book. She said, my friend's son read this book and it got rid of his back pain. And she handed me the book. And I believe I threw the book across the room.
Oh.
I said, Mom, I have these real structural problems. I have disc herniations. I have disc degeneration. You know, I'm telling her about these MRI findings. Like, a book isn't going to help me. And, you know, I kind of went about my day and I forgot about it. And about a year later, I picked up the book and I talked to my mom's friend's son and I learned about the neural pathway component of pain, and I eventually overcame it, as do many people. But, you know, it's funny that you ask. I actually, one of the patients in the study that I was telling you about, she was so sure. She, you know, a very evidence-based woman. She'd had chronic back pain for 6 years, and she said to me point blank at the beginning of the first session, I just want you to know, I'm very skeptical, and it's very hard for me to believe that my pain could be caused by my brain. I just feel it in my back. And I explained everything to her. And that very first session, we did a somatic tracking exercise. And by the end of the first session, her pain was completely gone. And at the end, she opens her eyes and I look at her and I say, well, what do you think now? And she doesn't say anything for a few seconds. And then she says, I still don't believe it.
Well, you can't blame people for questioning it when they first hear about it, as you did.
Absolutely. I mean, if you have back pain every time you sit, if you have back pain every time you walk, it's intuitive.
You think something's wrong. You pulled a muscle. Yeah. You have a slipped disc. Something happened.
I mean, we've really evolved to associate physical pain with physical injury. It's a natural instinct. It's, you know, this is deep inside of us. So, you know, the first time I was ever pain-free while sitting, it was probably 2 or 3 years. This is actually a story that I tell in the book as well, but I went to a Laker game. It was in 2006, and there was amazing comeback against the Phoenix Suns and, you know, a last second shot. And I was so into the game. I was so engaged that I didn't have any pain.
How about
and
that?
It was the first time when I was like, I looked down and I'd been sitting in the Staples Center for 2 hours and I didn't have pain. And I thought, that's it. I'm free. I could fully believe that there's nothing wrong with my back now. And the very next night, I'm out to dinner with my friends and my back is hurting. And I instantly think, oh, I need my back pillow. You know, it's like, it's so hard to hold on to that because we're wired to associate That's physical right. pain with physical damage. So it's very hard to wrap your mind around it. But when people do, when people are able to embrace that new counterintuitive perspective, it doesn't take that long to overcome your pain. There were patients in the study who had chronic back pain for 30 or 40 years. This
wow.
study I mentioned, there were 50 patients in the treatment group where we used our treatment on them, and they had the average amount of pain was 11 years. So these patients had pain on average for 11 years going into treatment. And at the end of treatment, 2 sessions a week for 4 weeks, 66% of them were pain-free or nearly pain-free.
That's almost a miracle. Alan, what is it about the brain that creates this kind of pain? Why does it do it?
Well, God, you're asking such great questions. You know, there's an overlap in the brain between the different systems that assess for threats, right? So, for example, let's say, you know, it's 100,000 years ago and you're out on a hunt or something and you're being, you know, and all of a sudden a lion jumps out from behind the bush and you go into, have you heard of the fight or flight response?
Absolutely. That's right.
You go, you go into a state of fight or flight. And that's essentially what an anxiety attack is, right?
It's a protective mechanism.
Exactly. It's a survival mechanism. You're able to run faster or fight harder than under normal circumstances, and it helps you survive.
The adrenaline's kicked in and all that stuff.
Exactly. But because there's an overlap in the brain between the different systems that assess for threats, people get anxiety attacks all the time, even when they aren't in physical danger. You could be taking a midterm that's worth half your grade and putting a lot of pressure on yourself. You could be going on a very high-stakes first date. You know, it could be, you could be going on an interview and you really want to get the job and you have a panic attack. What's actually happening is your brain is thinking lion, even though it's actually a psychological threat. Well, it can be the same thing with pain.
But those go away relatively soon. Those examples you just mentioned, fight or flight or an anxiety attack, they don't stay days and days and days. It seems
that's to someone with an anxiety disorder.
Well, that's true. But it seems like with these chronic pain episodes, the brain keeps it around for a long time.
That's a good point. So what happens is someone can develop pain. Maybe it started with an initial injury, or maybe it started when they're in a very stressful situation and, you know, the fear kind of triggered it in the same way that it can with a panic attack. And then it becomes a cycle where you believe that there's something wrong with your body. You know, you develop what we call conditioned responses, where your brain creates an association between the pain and a physical position or activity, right? So it hurts every time you sit or it hurts every time you walk. You start avoiding those things. So you eventually develop a pain-fear cycle. You have a lot of fear around the pain. You avoid certain activities. That reinforces to your brain that the pain is dangerous, which causes more pain, which causes more fear, which causes more pain. And so it's really that pain-fear cycle and the belief that something is physically or structurally wrong with you that can keep it going. And that's what we do, is our treatment. And, you know, we talk a lot about this in the book, is we teach you how to break the pain-fear cycle so that you can essentially teach your brain to turn off these pain signals and to reinterpret these signals coming from your body properly.
That's
fantastic.
Does
that make sense?
It sure does. Let's take some calls for you for the rest of the hour. First-time caller Danielle is in Chandler, Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you?
Good to have you with us. So are you under any chronic pain? Tell us what's going on.
Okay, so when I was 22, I was jumping on a trampoline with my 12-year-old cousin, and she was a little bit heavier than me, and she sort of jumped at this half beat off as I did, and I was doing backflips and she took my momentum away, and I ended up landing on basically the very top of my head, and I'm trying to adjust myself with my arms, and what happened was I ended up with my face on my back and laying on it. And my spine, as the doctor said, perfectly twisted inside of itself because I was very limber. I was always dance and ballet and all that. And I was paralyzed. And I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. And I told her, I said, put your hand on my hip and put your hand on my shoulder and roll me off my head. And she was like, no, I'm getting it. And I was like, no, do it now. Get me off. And when she did, it was like electricity went through my body when she untwisted my spinal cord.
Take it away, Alan. What do you think?
First of all, Danielle, was it Danielle?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Danielle, I'm so sorry to hear about that. You know, even describing something like that, it sounds like it was a really traumatic event. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, I'm assuming you got x-rays or you got MRIs afterward. Do you know what the doctors found?
I did. So I went inside, just the pure adrenaline and being scared. I went inside. Well, the next day I get up I couldn't. And I had my boyfriend at the time. I said, get a towel. I said, and twist it and let me make a neck brace of it. And I drove myself to the doctor's office, to the hospital. And they took x-rays. They said I fractured two discs and had the slightly fractured two discs and had herniated a couple, and they wanted me to start physical therapy. Well, at the age of 22, most of us don't have insurance and stuff like that. And I was like, no, I'll wear the neck brace and I'll be fine. Well, about 4 years later, it started bothering me more, so I decided to go to an orthopedic surgeon. He was like, immediately, let's do surgery. And he wanted to fuse 3 or 4 discs, and I'm like, I'm getting a second opinion. So I went to a neurosurgeon, and he said, no, until you have, you know, complete, you know, like numbing in a part of your body or something like that, let's hold off, because once we start fusing them, the ones below them and above them will start wearing out.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at having the surgery because I'm having headaches. But it's been, I'm 50, so it's been 28 years, and I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, is it do I really need to have surgery? I really don't want to fuse and lose all my mobility. And then they came up with something called a Mobi, which is like a ball joint thing, and they can fuse a couple of them and then replace a couple of them. And
well, let me ask Alan this for you, Danielle, and that was, if the physical pain goes away and subsides, let's say several years after the physical episode, Alan, does the brain sometimes still trick you and create this chronic pain syndrome?
So that was a great catch, George. That's actually one of the things that we look for, is inconsistency of symptoms. What you experienced, Danielle, was a legitimate injury. But I want to say two things. First of all, fractures heal. You know, we've all broken a finger, broken an arm, or broken a leg, and fractures heal. You said that the doctors looked at your MRI and said, you herniated a couple discs in the injury. There's a very good chance that you had those disc herniations even before the injury. Like I said earlier, 64% of people with no back pain have disc bulges and disc herniations. There were no MRIs to compare to before. So there's a very good chance that you had, it's very hard to herniate a disc. You know, I've had orthopedic surgeons tell me, you pretty much need to fall off a third-story balcony to herniate a disc. That stuff usually happens, is wear and tear over time. So even though the doctors told you that, I don't necessarily buy the fact that those disc herniations did not even precede the incident. But you go in, you get an MRI, they say that's what's going on. So like George pointed out, oftentimes when the pain goes away and comes back, that is indicative of the brain could actually learn and remember the pain. And so then when we're in times of stress, those neural pathways can be activated. So, you know, it's very possible that this is what could be going on with you, Danielle. You had that injury. The idea that there was something wrong with your back was reinforced by doctors. You know, you start getting pain in certain positions or certain activities. They're talking about surgery. You're thinking about it all the time. You have a lot of fear around it. But it's very possible that your injury healed, and your brain subsequently, you know, learned and remembered the pain, and that you might be able to get out of this pain without even engaging in surgery or any of those other physical interventions.
Kicks it into high gear. Danielle, thanks for the call. Next up, we go to Bob in San Pedro, California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Bob.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Okay. Hope you are, too.
I'm doing okay. Hello, Professor. Thanks for taking the call. I'm 60 years old. I used to weigh at one point almost 600 pounds.
Wow.
I went gastric bypass, and I'm now at about 300 pounds, you know, 19 years later. Lots of trauma from age 7 to 21. So basically, I'm dealing with phenomenal knee pain all the time. And, you know, I do deal with opioids. Currently, I'm on buprenorphine, which is an opioid agonist. I know that I have a blood-brain issue where, you know, I've been told by a couple of doctors for UCLA that you may feel something as a 1 on the pain threshold, and I may feel it as a 7 or an 8.
And it's the same. And it's the same pain threshold, right? Just
right. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's actually what we're talking about, Bob. Is, you know, your brain has the capacity to actually amplify the intensity of these sensations, which is this neuroplastic pain. So, you know, it could be for me or George, it might just be a normal sensation that we feel in our knee. But if your brain interprets it through a lens of danger, it's processed as pain and you're in agony.
Interesting. I was getting in my daughter's car this weekend and I bumped my knee and I felt it. I mean, I felt it, Alan. And I said to myself, this is going to screw up my jogging a week and everything else because I work out 4 days a week.
Yeah.
But I let my brain take over, and in 2 days, I didn't feel anything. Nothing. The soreness from the bump went away, and there was no subsequent pain after that. I surprised myself.
That's a great recovery story, but it's true. You know, a lot of times what happens is you made a really good point that immediately when you had the pain, you thought, this is going to screw up my week. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And for a lot of people, it's that fear and the preoccupation around the pain that takes hold and fuels the pain so that even after the injury recovers, they're still feeling it. Thank goodness that didn't happen to you.
Absolutely. Where do people get your book?
They could actually get the book anywhere books are sold. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at a bookstore. You can get it on we actually put up a website for the book, thewayoutbook.com, but really wherever books are sold.
We're going to take more calls in just a few moments with Alan Gordon when we come back after the break. This is amazing work that you're doing, Alan. Can people email you through your website?
Yeah, people can reach out to us through our website. We created, a lot of different communities. We have a Facebook group. We have other ways where different chronic pain sufferers could support each other and learn about these tools. Actually, in the book, we reference a website, painreprocessingtherapy.com, where you could get a list of practitioners who can diagnose you with this and different therapists who can treat it. And, you know, there's a link to different forums where you can get information, but absolutely there's a wealth of information out there.
Alan, you do just remarkable work. What's next for you? What's the next project?
Well, we have really the ultimate goal of a paradigm shift in the way that chronic pain is understood and treated. You know, like I told you, Casey, that kid we treated on the doctors,
right?
His insurance company spent $250,000 on him in the 2 years before we saw him. And we were able, you know, he saw us for a few weeks and he was out of pain and back in school in less than a month. And so to me, it's really tragic. You know, 20% of the healthcare budget, the United States healthcare budget, goes toward treating chronic pain. $650 billion per year going toward chronic pain. It is and there are treatments that are being used that are ineffective. It is the most catastrophic inefficiency in healthcare. So really, this book that we wrote is just a means to an end. It's a way of getting this treatment out there. But ultimately, we're looking for a paradigm shift in the way that chronic pain is treated and understood and, you know, hoping that the medical community will follow suit. And when the study comes out next month, we think that the study in conjunction with the book, they're doing a big documentary about it. We really think we're in the early stages of that paradigm shift.
Oh, it'll be dramatic, Alan. We're going to come back and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back in a moment with final calls with Alan Gordon as we talk about chronic pain, amazing study and work that he has done. Next hour, investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us with an incredible story with author Susie Ward, author of the Matthew Tell Me About Heaven series, as we talk about the afterlife. So make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Alan Gordon, author of The Way Out. We're talking about pain management, and let's go back to the phones. Alicia's with us in the state of Washington. Welcome to the show. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Thanks for holding so long.
No problem. I'm a first-time caller, but a long-time listener. So.
Oh, great. Good to have you with us. So are you under chronic pain? What's going on with you?
Yeah. So, first of all, I want to thank Alan for, helping people with chronic pain. I've been dealing with chronic pain for over 7 years now, and I'm 30 years old. The first 5 years was like my whole body was screaming in pain, but luckily now it's calmed down quite a bit and kind of more localized.
Didn't anything happen to you physically? Did you get into an accident or anything like that?
No, nothing, you know, started it that we can think of. It's kind of been gradual. But I believe a certain medication really helped me, and I was wondering if Alan had any insight on it. It was called low-dose naltrexone. I think it just kind of calmed down my whole overactive pain response.
All right, take it away, Alan.
And I'm sorry, could you repeat your name? Did you say Alicia?
Alicia, yeah.
Alicia.
Alicia.
So Alicia, yeah, you have what I'm guessing a lot of physicians would diagnose as fibromyalgia. Have you been given that diagnosis, or?
Yeah, fibromyalgia, and more recently, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome as well.
Yeah, that is a connective tissue disorder, but it's really, generally speaking, many people with that condition are asymptomatic, and it's overdiagnosed. But I'm guessing, you know, what's going on. You know, I have been given a dozen different diagnoses. You know, I had headaches. I was told I had high cerebral spinal fluid pressure. You know, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, pretty much everything under the sun. And so I'm not surprised that you got a diagnosis. But when you go on a medication like that, oftentimes what it can do is it could calm down your nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it isn't necessarily that, you know, as we talked about earlier, pain is a danger signal. And a lot of fear and stress and preoccupation and worry and pressure, those are things that could amplify pain. So when you go on a medication that calms down your nervous system, it kind of indirectly reduces your pain as a result. But I'm guessing what's going on with you is that your brain is interpreting, especially the fact that, you know, George, you were asking earlier about different ways to determine whether or not you have this neuroplastic pain, the brain-based pain, or if it's a structural injury.
Right.
And one of the things that we look for is exactly what you're talking about. If the pain spreads or moves or changes, and the fact that, Alicia, you were saying that your pain started out all over your body and now it's more localized, that is not consistent with a disease process. That is not consistent with a structural injury. So that, in my opinion, would be a large piece of evidence that you have pain that's being generated by your brain. Pain is 100% real, but your brain is actually interpreting danger where there is none, and I'm guessing our treatment approach will help you.
I think so, too, and she's had it for 5 years. That's a long time.
Yeah. It's a long time to suffer like that.
All right, good luck,
Elise. It could
actually
change the brain when you've had a lot of pain like that.
When she said nothing's happened to her, she didn't get into an accident or fall or anything like that, that makes her a prime candidate for what you're talking about.
That's a great point. You know, about 50% of the people we work with, the pain just arises spontaneously. There isn't any injury that precedes it, and that's one of the things that we look for. And probably half the people, it started with an injury, and then the injury heals, and the pain persists. So she would definitely be in that category of someone where the pain just arose in the absence of an injury, which is a huge piece of evidence that it's being caused by her brain.
East of the Rockies, Rich is with us in Wheatley, Massachusetts. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good morning, George.
Good to have you with us, Rich. Thank you.
Oh, Alan, how are you this morning?
Good. Thanks for calling in, Rick.
I do appreciate you taking the call. I was 24 years old when I broke my back in 1987. I ended up having a spondylolisthesis, S1. Pardon me. And had a spinal fusion done in 1990.
Oh, geez.
I have dealt with chronic pain since then. I'm 58 years old, and my question is, I have gone through years of dealing with, you know, pain and medications and therapies and things of that nature, but pain draws anybody into some of the blackest places that the soul can possibly go. We do mental gymnastics trying to escape it throughout the years, and the other people that I spoke through the years who deal with the same thing. And I guess what my question would be for you is, have you, with so much repetitive chronic pain conditioning that people go through, how can that be changed? How can you change the neuroplasticity so we do start feeling relief from our suffering?
Rick, that's actually a great question, and I was very curious when we went into the study. Are the patients in the study who've had pain for 6 months going to overcome their pain any quicker than patients who have had pain for 40 years? And the answer was no. The answer was, in the study that we did, just as many patients who've had pain for decades were pain-free at the end of 4 weeks as the patients who've had pain just for 6 months or a year. And the reason is I hear what you're saying. You're saying, I've had pain for so long, and every time I sit or every time I walk, the pain is being reinforced. Those neural pathways are so deeply ingrained. But when you start developing corrective experiences and you're able to engage in these behaviors or engage in these positions and not have pain, the brain can learn very quickly. There was a football player in the study. I mentioned him earlier, and he had a 9-millimeter disc herniation, a 7-millimeter disc herniation. You look at his spine, and it looks like he had been in a horrific car accident. And he had pain every time he stood for 30 years.
Ouch.
And
they actually did a
documentary of the study. It's going to be coming out next year. And he was the patient that they randomly chose to follow through the documentary. And so we actually have this amazing footage on film. We did a 15-minute somatic tracking exercise where I had him stand and I had him do the somatic tracking exercise where he was able to attend to the sensation in his back through a lens of safety. And I had him, you know, sit down and then do it again and sit down. And by the end of a 15-minute session, he was able to stand pain-free for the first time in 30 years.
That's incredible.
He's never had pain standing since. So, you know, Rick, when I hear you say, these neural pathways are so deeply ingrained that I've been in pain for so long, how could that be unconditioned? If you have just a few corrective experiences, the brain can learn very quickly. And in this case, remarkably, he was able to overcome 30 years of pain in 15 minutes just by getting these corrective experiences, by having the experience of standing pain-free.
That's fantastic. Next up, let's go to Mario in Roseland, Florida. Welcome to the show. Hi, Mario. Still with us? Going once, twice. He's back there somewhere. Mario?
Yeah, I heard something in the background.
I'm going to have to let him go. He's been on hold for like 50 minutes. He probably fell asleep or something. I was interviewing a witch once, Ellen, and she was lying on her couch, I guess, doing the interview. And all of a sudden, I could hear her snoring in the background.
Oh, no.
You know, trying to wake her up. Wake up!
That happened to me. I was doing a meditation exercise with one of my friends. I was guiding him through this meditation. We were outside. He was on a lounge chair, and I'm talking him through this meditation. And I can just see he's getting so deeply into it. I'm thinking, like, this is the greatest guided meditation ever. And then he starts snoring. I'm like, okay, this did not go well.
Let's go to Susan in Roseville, California. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I am one of those people that you were talking about that I used to be in really bad pain. And I fell and I injured my back and I ruptured a disc and I herniated another disc. And I had back surgery 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then even after the surgery really helped because I couldn't even walk before I had my surgery. My back was just like all swollen in the back there. And when I tried to stand up, I would feel faint and my leg would go up in the back to protect the sciatic nerve. Leg was all numb. So they did surgery. They did a laminectomy on me. I could walk the next day with an old lady walker. And I was really, you know, young then.
Yeah.
And, but what I wanted to know is, did I train my brain to get rid of the pain? Because as it continued, I ended up going to the gym because I'd lost all my muscles and everything, built that all back and seemed to help. And then I ended up injuring myself at the gym. I tore up all the scar tissue, so I had to start going to a chiropractor.
So it sounds like you want to know is it possible that your brain could have, like, learned that pain early on and circle back?
Yeah, because then I started, you know, eating healthy and everything. I started going to chiropractor, seemed to really help a lot. But now I don't even need to go. I just stretch myself. And my doctors told me that don't even have children. My back was so bad. I have scoliosis way back.
You know, I got to tell you, was it Susan?
Susan.
I got to tell you, Susan, you know, you brought up a really interesting point. Is so often physicians, well, well-meaning physicians, there definitely isn't any malintent, but they'll say things like, you know, don't even have kids, or you're going to, I had a physician tell me, you're just going to need to get used to being in pain because you're going to be in pain forever. And, you know,
for the rest of your life, geez,
the rest of your life. And, you know, the medical community currently looks at chronic pain as something that could only be managed, not cured. In fact, if you look at on the website for the Mayo Clinic, one of the most prestigious medical facilities in the world, it says chronic pain can be managed and not cured. And that is just not true. You know, there's a fundamental misunderstanding of chronic pain in the medical community. We're not in the business of pain management. You know, I had a doctor tell me once, what if we could get your pain 50% down, right? It was a 6 out of 10. My back pain and my headaches were really bad. And I said, what if we can get it down to a 3? And I remember saying to him,
please,
no, that's not enough.
You want to get it down to a 1 or a 0, right?
You need to get rid of it. That was the amazing thing about this study we did in Boulder, is these patients started out in a 4 out of 10 pain. And like I said, they'd been in pain for over a decade on average. And by the end of the study, 2/3 of them were down to a 0 or a 1. Chronic pain is something that can be eliminated in most people.
Let's go. Susan, thank you. We're going to go to Jeremy in North Dakota. And wait till you hear this story, Alan. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Hello. Thanks for wishing me first happy birthday on the 9th.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Great.
And first, I want to tell you my tragic story. On December 8, 2003, I was driving a Kia Rio up an icy hill. A Ford pickup slid clear across my lane, hit my Kia Rio head-on in my shoulder at about 25 miles an hour. The airbag and the seatbelt in my Kia Rio did not work at all. Immediately, I was in a coma for 2.5 months. When I woke up from the coma, they told me I broke both femurs, shattered both kneecaps, broke a foot, almost got my left pinky cut off, and injured my little brain.
What kind of pain were you in during that time, Jeremy?
I've had a chronic pain ever since I woke up from my coma.
Wow.
I didn't have any pain when I was in my coma, but...
And you still have pain now?
Oh, yeah, I'm almost to the point where if I have a day where I have no pain, I think there's something wrong.
Now, this could be a combination, Alan. Go ahead.
Have you, Jeremy, had days where you've had almost no pain?
Yes, I have.
Okay, all right. So this right here, for everybody listening out there, like, this is a great indication. This is one of the main things that we're looking for. You were in a horrific accident. You had all of these injuries, and it's very easy to believe my body was broken, and it is, and my body continues to be broken.
Right.
But the body is very regenerative. There was a guy that I worked with, a physical therapist. He got in a motorcycle accident, and he broke literally every bone in his back.
Jeez.
And 18 months later, he was pain-free. The body heals. And so when you say something like, there are days where I experience almost no pain, there is not a structural genesis for your pain. It is not anatomically consistent. If there's something structurally wrong with you, if you have a broken leg, it hurts every step you take. You know, you're not going to, you know, walk for a mile and have pain and then walk for a block and not have pain. That's not right. How structural.
He's not going to have a day with no pain and then another day with pain. If it's physical, it's every day, right?
Exactly. So, Jeremy, that's one of the things that we look for. And even though you had such a horrific and tragic story, and your pain was absolutely caused by structural injuries at one time,
it
sounds like you really went through a lot. With what you told me, it is anatomically impossible for you to have a structural injury if you can go a day without pain. So the treatment that we talk about in our book is something that could even help someone like you who has gone through such, you know, horrific physical injuries.
He'd be a great candidate for that, Alan, wouldn't he?
Absolutely.
Alan, we want to thank you for being on the program. Would you give folks your website, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is painpsychologycenter.com, but our book, The Way Out, is available wherever books are sold. And I do want to just say to all the listeners out there, you know, you might be hearing this and think, oh, I'm dealing with pain, or maybe you know someone with chronic pain and you're thinking, oh, but mine is structural. This isn't going to apply to me. You know, I went through the same thing where I was presented with this perspective of maybe it's coming from your brain, and I turned it away.
You're a case history, my friend. Case history indeed. Alan, thank you for being on the program. Up next, investigative reporter Cheryl Jones on Coast to Coast AM.